This is Samoa Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Pro Wrestling Nation.
Stupendous, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you never know who's going to stop by the studio. What's up, people? What's going on? How the heck you doing? I am here. I'm a little late, like always. It wouldn't be me if I wasn't late, but I'm late, but I'm here. I am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. And I think I just said that, but that's okay. That is okay by me. Before we go any further, you can check out Pro Wrestling Nation every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn app, whatever it is. the TuneIn app. I use it sometimes. I really don't, but I look at it. I have like 30-something subscribers on that. The TuneIn app, even though people tell me that nobody uses it, I still have subscribers on the TuneIn app. So if you're listening to me right now from the TuneIn app, take a screenshot, tweet it to me at PWN Podcast, and I want to congratulate you for being awesome, for being super awesome. In fact, tell me what kind of podcasting app you use. I use Beyond Pod. I love Beyond Pod. It's amazing. It fits all my podcasting needs. It's awesome. You can also find this show on RedDragonsRadio.com. Last week I had Don Mega from Red Dragons Radio on the show, and we went over the draft. Not the draft, the brand split. I'm just so excited about the draft, you guys. Like, I'm more excited about the draft than the brand split, to tell you the truth. I love me a draft. That's why I love the NFL. I just love a draft. I do. And as a 49er fan and as a WWE fan, I am used to drafts letting me down. I am used to drafts not doing so well. So you know what? If this draft is crappy, I'll just consider it a 49ers draft and we'll be all good. We'll be all good, you guys. Last week, Don Mega was here and we talked about the brand split. We talked about NXT. We talked about the future of NXT. We talked about the future of the brands. We talked about the title belts. It was a good conversation. If you hadn't checked it out, go back, check it out. It's in the archives. It was last week. Also, while you're in the archives, check out my interview with Tito Santana. I feel like my interview with Tito Santana was amazing. I went into a lot of places that I felt like he never went before, or maybe hasn't gone to very often. And it was a good time with Tito Santana. That's back there in the archive somewhere too. Also, I did an interview a couple of months ago, I think 2 months ago, with one Petey Williams from TNA's Team Canada. Go check it out. Petey Williams on the podcast. There's so many others. There's a two-parter of Diana Hart Smith. There's a Cliff Compton one. There's Crazy Mary Dobson. There is Brittany Savage. There is a lot of interviews out there from Pro Wrestling Nation. Go ahead and check them out. Another personal favorite of mine is Chris Hero. Not Chris Hero. I want to get Chris Hero. That's like a bucket list. I meant to say Chris Harris. Sorry, Chris Harris. Wildcat Chris Harris is in the archives. Go check it out. Go, go, go check it out. Also, you can find Pro Wrestling Nation every single week on Gerwick.net. That's G-E-R-W-E-C-K, Gerwick.net. Check it out. They have a bunch of podcasts. They have Breaking Raw. They have the Gerwick Report podcast. They have the Kayfabe Show. But the Gerwick Report podcast, let's get back to that one for a second. That's my favorite one on the network. Well, of course, besides Pro Wrestling Nation, of course. My favorite Gerwick audio is the Gerwick Report podcast with your hosts, Steve Gerwick, Frank D, and Holla Holla, Playa Playa, Teddy Long. Now, I know I feel like I'm talking about this every single week, but Teddy Long was in the WWE on Monday, last Monday. He was there. And he talks this week on the Gerwick Report podcast. Holla Holla, Playa Playa, Teddy Long talks about his return to the WWE. Find out if it was a one-off. Find out if he's back. Find out if he's going to be running SmackDown. Find out how he was treated, who he liked, who he bumped into. Find all that stuff out on the Gerwick Report podcast. Go check it out. Teddy Long, Holla Holla, Playa Playa. I like saying that, even though that's not quite what he says. I do, you guys. I do. I enjoy saying that. Also, go to Pro Wrestling Tees. I haven't plugged this in a while. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees. Buy yourself a t-shirt, a Pro Wrestling Nation t-shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/ProWrestlingNation. And pick up your Pro Wrestling Nation t-shirt. Send me a screenshot, or not a screenshot, a picture of you wearing the shirt. Tweet it to me at PWN Podcast, and I will be happy to take one of my personal wrestling DVDs out of my collection and send it to you. So check it out. Go get a t-shirt. Get a free wrestling DVD out of my collection. Holla holla, playa playa. Oh man, what a week it has been. What a week. The first thing that I want to talk about is NXT TakeOver The End. I am going to go ahead and review that for you. It's going to be fun. I have a review all ready to go. And I'm going to review NXT TakeOver The End. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to go over some of the news of the week. And then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So for now, let's head over to our correspondent, Funky Sam Medina, and let's check out NXT TakeOver The End. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Funky Sam Medina, and I am here to talk NXT TakeOver The End. Last week, I went and I run down the card. This week, I'm going to run down the results for NXT TakeOver The Beginning of The End. I told you guys last week that I felt like this was going to be kind of the beginning of the end because the draft is coming up and I'm hoping that NXT gets completely raided like Monday Night Wars style. ECW in the Monday Night Wars raided. I want to see all these guys go up. I want to see them fill the rosters. I think that a lot of these people in NXT, they're ready to go. They definitely are ready to go. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I think we should talk about NXT TakeOver The End. The beginning of the end, exclusively on the WWE Network. So we had a pre-show dark match. I wasn't able to see this match because I wasn't in the building, but it was a pre-show dark match. And we saw in this match, Ember Moon defeating Peyton Royce. Now, this is a very interesting match. These two ladies, you wouldn't think normally that you would see this match happen in a WWE ring. You take Peyton Royce, a.k.a. Casey Cassidy, out of the independent scene in Australia. And then you take the goddess Athena out of the independent scene in the United States. You put them in WWE, you change their names, and you have Ember Moon defeating Peyton Royce in the dark match for NXT TakeOver The End. I have high hopes for both these ladies. I feel like Casey Cassidy, Peyton Royce, has not even like achieved her potential. Not even close. Her and Billie Kay, who was also handpicked from the Australian independent circuit. They came up in the business together. They're in NXT together. And I feel like these two ladies can be like the next Emma and Dana Brooke. They can be a force. They can dominate the women's division. They just need time. They just need time to kind of gel and to get in the mix in NXT. And Billy Kay and Peyton Royce definitely are not two people that I want to see get called up in the draft. I feel like they're going to be there when the Baileys and the Oscars and the Nia Jaxes and the Eva Maries get pulled up. And they're going to fill the gaps. They're going to be the replacements to the people that we're losing. Along with Ember Moon, who wrestled on the indies as Athena. She, really, really good wrestler. She's been on the indie scene for a while. She's good. She's brand new to NXT. This was one of her first matches in NXT. She hasn't been on TV yet. As of now, she hasn't been on TV yet. And I'm excited for her to make her TV debut coming in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for Ember Moon making her TV debut. We'll get into that a little bit later. And Peyton Royce is going to be a force to be reckoned with. So these two women, they're brand new to the scene. Ember Moon more so than Peyton Royce. But expect them both in the next year or so to be the big names in the women's division. In fact, this match right here in a year from now could be for the NXT women's title. You never know. Anyway, so that was that match. I didn't see it. I'm assuming it was a decent match. Those two ladies can wrestle. Let's move on to the main card, shall we? We saw in 5 minutes and 22 seconds. Wow, this match seemed a lot longer than 5 minutes and 22 seconds. Andrade Cien Almas defeated the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. Now, as Lita would say, I think 100 is like 10 times better than 10. I think so too, Lita. We saw a lot of cool things in this match. My favorite spot in this match was Ty Dillinger was laying on the mat and Cien Almas went to the top rope for a moonsault. But obviously you could tell Ty Dillinger was way too far away and he wasn't going to hit him. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're not going to hit him. He's too far. Cien Almas did a moonsault into a backflip. He landed on his feet and then he did a backflip splash right on top of Ty Dillinger. It was really cool. The match ended with Ty Dillinger laying in the corner and Almas running with a double knee to the face. And it got the 1-2-3. A lot of people are upset about Ty Dillinger kind of being the designated jobber. The CJ Parker, if you will. But somebody needs to do it. And it's got to be somebody who they believe in. Somebody who they trust. And somebody who will not hurt anybody. And I feel like Ty Dillinger is a, how do they say, quote-unquote, a good hand. I feel like Ty Dillinger can go out there and he can make people look good. And that's what they need for this kind of situation. They need this guy, Cien Almas, to look good, to come out there and for the fans to be impressed. And for them to go, man, that guy did a really good job. And Ty Dillinger's the perfect guy for that. So Ty Dillinger takes the loss, Cien Almas makes his NXT debut. So congratulations, Cien, and I hope to see more of this guy. He was La Sombra in CMLL for a long time. He was a big star, and he has a good look, and hopefully he can be a big star in NXT too. This is another guy, Andrade Cien Almas. He's another guy that when NXT gets pulled dry, he's going to be one of the guys to fill in the gaps. The third match of the night, The Revival, Dawson and Dash. Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, defeated American Alpha, Jason Jordan, and Chad Gable to regain the NXT World Tag Team Championship. You heard me right. The Revival is the first ever two-time NXT Tag Team Champions. This match was really good. These two guys are the epitome. Well, these two teams. These two teams are the epitome of tag team wrestling. You know, you don't see tag team wrestling like this anymore. You got the old school guys. You got the athletic guys. And these guys just went out there. They really tore the house down. And I don't know if these two teams are ready to get drafted yet. I mean, that's definitely for somebody else to decide. But if they do, or even if they wait a little while, I can't wait to see these guys go up to the main roster and just kind of get in the mix. You know, they need tag teams. They don't have that many in the main roster. And I feel like these two teams can go in there. One can go to Raw, one go to SmackDown, whatever. But these two teams can go in there and they can get in the mix and they can really make things interesting. The match ended cleanly. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, the American Alpha, they went for their finishing move where, like, one of them picks him up and the other one slams him or something like that. And the Revival is able to get Chad Gable out of the ring. They tossed him out, and then they hit their double finisher on Jason Jordan and got the 1-2-3. And the best part about this match is that I finally learned to tell Dash and Dawson apart. Are you ready for this? Scott Dawson has no hair. Dash Wilder has hair. That's now how I can tell these guys apart. That match went 16 minutes long, and we have new NXT tag team champions. The next match on the card was a dream match. Another one. I said earlier in the night, Ember Moon, you know, from the US Indies, Peyton Royce from the Australian Indies. They're just people whose paths don't cross unless they're in the WWE. You got Sin Almas from AAA. You got Ty Dillinger from the Indies. You got the Revival from the Indies. You got Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, both collegiate athletes. Chad Gable was in the Olympics. And now you have Shinsuke Nakamura from Japan, from New Japan. He's been in New Japan his entire career. Taking on and defeating, mind you, the greatest man to ever live. A double, Austin Aries. Austin Aries came up in Ring of Honor. He made his name for himself. He went to TNA very briefly as Austin Starr. Does anybody remember Austin Starr or just me? My friend's girlfriend called him Video Game Guy because apparently during his Austin Starr run, he looked like a video game character. He eventually left TNA at that point, and I don't know, he came back. He came back as Austin Aries. He came back as the greatest man to ever live. He came back and became TNA World Heavyweight Champion. These guys are on two different paths. They never crossed. I heard an interview with Austin Aries. He never even, like, met Nakamura until recently. This match was amazing. I don't even want to, like, put into words how good it was. If you have the WWE Network, watch it. If you don't have it, go get it. Watch it. Watch Austin Aries versus Nakamura. The ending of the match saw a Death Valley Driver by Austin Aries on the apron. A Death Valley Driver on the apron. Like, Nakamura looked like he was done for at this point. Austin Aries gets back in the ring. Nakamura kind of staggers around the ring. He goes around the corner there. Austin Aries runs. Suicide dive through the ropes. Nakamura manages to get out of the way. Austin Aries goes face first into the barricade. Face first into the guardrail. Face first. Nakamura picks him up. Throws him in the ring. Reverse exploder. And then he hits his knee strike. I don't know what it's called. It's right here. It's written down. I just don't know how to pronounce it, and I don't want to sound like an idiot. I mean, more so than normal, you know? Kinshasa. It looks like it says Kinshasa, but I don't know. I don't want to butcher it. His running knee strike for the pin and the win. 1-2-3. Shinsuke Nakamura defeats a double. Austin Aries. In our next match of the evening, the fourth match, there wasn't very many matches on this card, but it was simple, it was to the point, and it was amazing. It was an amazing night of wrestling. I really enjoyed NXT TakeOver The End, as you can tell. We're halfway through the card, and I'm being so optimistic about it. The NXT Women's Championship, as Asuka defended and defeated against Nia Jax. This match was a little bit I want to say it was troubling, because Asuka's style doesn't really go well with Nia Jax because she's so much bigger than her. Like Bayley, I feel like Nia Jax and Bayley really, really connected. They had a good thing going. Their styles meshed, and they looked good. But then again, I mean, it was just Nia Jax beating Bayley up, right? She just kept beating her up and beating her up and slamming her and belly-to-belly suplex and jumping on her face and doing everything she can to just hurt Bayley. And then Bayley came through with a bear hug or whatever she won with. And then Bayley ended up getting the win. But I just feel like with the Nia Jax, just with her gimmick, her size, the way she carries herself, I don't buy Asuka being on offense as much as she was in this match. And it was just like a beating. It was just a beatdown. Asuka just went out there and kicked her in the face a bunch of times and got the win. I feel like they could have done better, but it was a pretty good match. And going into it, there was a lot of intrigue and a lot of like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? But Asuka still... your NXT Women's Championship. Your NXT Women's Champion, whatever, I can't talk. The next match in the main event of the show was for the NXT World Championship. I don't know, is NXT considered a world title? I mean, it's been defended in the UK. It's been defended in Japan. It's been defended in the United States. So, I mean, it's worldly. It's of the world. So I guess you can consider it a world title because it's a developmental territory. We'll get into that too. I don't know. I'm going to say world title though. I'm going to say it. You can't stop me. Even though in the results I have here it says NXT Championship. NXT World Championship match. Did you hear that? NXT World Championship match. Samoa Joe defeats Finn Balor inside the first ever steel cage match in NXT. And this match went 16 minutes and 10 seconds. Oh, and I forgot to mention that Aries and Nakamura went 17 minutes and 5 seconds. And Asuka and Nia Jax went 9 minutes and 12 seconds. So we got some pretty long matches here. That's kind of why also... the pay-per-view was 2 hours, and it's only like 5 matches. Because look, the opening match is 5 minutes. The second match is 16 minutes. The third match is 17 minutes. The fourth match is 10 minutes almost, and the main event is 16 minutes. So it was a pay-per-view quality show with very few matches, which I like. Like I said, it was simple. It was to the point. It wasn't contrived. It wasn't like a 3-hour Raw. It wasn't like, what can we throw at them next? It was just, it was simple, and it was pro wrestling. I feel like that's the best formula they can do right now. Because, you know, these fans, especially the fans of NXT, they believe in these guys as athletes. So treat them like athletes, and the fans will come, and the fans will rock the house. They will rock the house, y'all. I'm getting into the main event, and I completely left out a huge, huge part. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit and get to the main event in a second. In the second match of the night, when the Revival defeated the American Alpha, I can never remember that name. I think I hate that name. I think I just don't like it. I can never remember it. So, like I said, they got Chad Gable out of the ring. They did their double team finisher on Jason Jordan. They got the 1-2-3. The Revival is the second ever NXT Tag Team Champions. They got their belts and they got the heck out of Dodge. Now, this is the part that I left out. Out of nowhere, these two guys, these huge guys, huge, they come out of nowhere and they attack. They attack American Alpha. They beat them down. They really, really did too. It was surprising. Nobody saw this coming. I don't even know who these guys are. Like I consider myself to be like a smart fan. I know these people. I know the guys in the performance. I mean, I don't know them, but I know who's there. Like when NXT gets picked dry, who's going to replace people. We got Hugo Knox. We got Tino Santelli. We got Biff Busick, whatever his name he's going by nowadays. We got, I don't know, that's just off the top of my head. There's a bunch of guys. There's 5-6 guys that we have in NXT, even a couple girls, that we have in NXT that aren't on television. And when the Finn Balor and Samoa Joe and Bayley and Asuka and the American Alpha and the Revival, when these guys get drafted, who are we going to have? We're going to have the other guys. We're going to have the guys that we don't really know about yet, and they're going to come to TV, the Rich Swans of the world and the Hugo Knoxes and I don't know. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head. But they're there. They're definitely there. And they're ready to go. They just need room on television. And that's the same thing with the guys in NXT. They're ready to go up to the main roster. Samoa Joe's ready. He just needs room on television. And I feel like there's not room until the draft split happens. The brand extension happens. And then these guys can go up. And then the guys that are not on NXT TV yet, they can go up. And it's a circle of life in the professional wrestling world. So, yeah, there's that. The main event of the night. Oh, what am I doing? I'm forgetting another huge thing. So after these guys, they beat down the American Alpha. Who submerges? Who comes out from the back? Who is standing there watching them? Who is looking on, loving the chaos and loving the destruction? I will tell you who. The legendary former manager to the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, and many others. Well, many other names, I guess, because he only managed those guys. The Hawk and Animal, you know, Paul Ellering. Paul Ellering came out, and this is where it gets controversial, because the fans were chanting, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" And everybody's so angry because Paul Ellering got disrespected by the NXT audience. Well, my argument is they could possibly have been saying it to the guys that were in the ring defeating and destroying and beating up American Alpha. Who are those guys? I've never heard of them. I've never seen them. As far as I know, they're called the Authors of Pain, which is kind of a silly name. And I really hope that name doesn't stick, because it's kind of silly. It's kind of like, oh, the Authors of Pain. Oh, I don't know. It's not menacing. It's really, really not. But these guys, they are menacing. They went out there and they beat up one of our most beloved tag teams, and they are aligned with Paul Ellering. So this is very interesting. And considering the fact that Paul Ellering's daughter, Rachel Ellering, made her debut on NXT a few weeks ago, she's not signed. But hey, the potential is there. She's made her debut. She's cut a promo. They put it on WWE.com. And, yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens. Now it's time for the main event. Let's get to the main event of the evening. We saw the NXT World Champion, Samoa Joe, put his title on the line in the first ever steel cage match in NXT history against none other than the former champion himself, Finn Balor. This match, I mean, going into the show, this is a dream match. Samoa Joe versus Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, like, this is an amazing match. These guys went up there. They went out there. They really tore the house down. They really, really did. It was amazing. Like, these two guys went out there and they left it all in the ring. And I wasn't expecting this to be a great cage match. If you remember last week, I said, oh, it's probably going to be a typical WWE cage match where they're just in the ring and the cage doesn't come into effect at all. No, they were slamming each other into the cage. They were throwing each other into the cage. They were doing all kinds of stuff with the cage. And it was a really, really good match. These two guys went out there, and like I said, they left it all in the ring. They really did. At one point, we saw Kuna Gra, We saw the Samoa Joe putting on the Coquina clutch, but it was a muscle buster, not just a muscle buster. It was a super muscle buster off the top rope that ended this match. And Samoa Joe is your winner and still the NXT champion of the world. Now, at this point, all we can really do is speculate on the end, the title, the end. What does it mean? It's the beginning of the end, or is it the end of the beginning? It's a little bit of both. I really feel like this is going to be the end of NXT as we know it. I feel like the draft's going to happen, and guys are going to get called up, and guys are going to get drafted, and women, for that matter. And there's going to be holes in the roster that need to be filled. But guess what? They have people to fill the holes already in the roster in place. They have Bobby Roode, spoiler alert, who debuted during the Download Festival in the UK. Bobby Roode has made his NXT debut, you guys. And that place went crazy just to see him come out. That place went crazy. I'm sure you guys saw the videos. It's all over Facebook. It's all over everywhere you look. It's all over Twitter, it's all over Facebook, it's all over Instagram, it's all over Tumblr, it's all over MySpace, it's all over anything you want to go into on the internet. You're going to find Bobby Roode debuting at the NXT Download Festival show. I don't know who he fought. I really don't. I think he fought some nobody. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I don't know who he fought, but I know that he made an entrance. I saw it on Facebook. Definitely saw the entrance on Facebook. You don't just got Bobby Roode, though. You got Eric Young. You don't just got Eric Young, though. You got Austin Aries. Because, okay, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and Austin Aries. I know they're TNA guys. But see, here's the difference between them and a guy like Samoa Joe, a guy like Finn Balor, and a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura. Young, Roode, and Aries are not signed to deals. They're on a handshake agreement. And that is somebody who you want to keep in NXT. You want to take the guys that are signed to deals and you want to put them on the main roster, especially when they're Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Finn Balor. You want those guys on the main roster because they're amazing, and they're so amazing that you put ink on a piece of paper and you agreed to pay them a lot of money to be in your shows. And I feel like, like, no way Jose is gonna fill in the holes. And like I said before, Hugo Knox and all these other guys that we don't know. I was watching Swerved Season 2. I highly recommend it. If you guys haven't seen Swerved Season 2, I binge-watched it yesterday. I saw, like, 6 episodes. It is amazing. Swerved Season 2 is good. It's really good. It's better than the first season. In season 2, they're pranking the public, they're pranking the fans, they're pranking anybody that's around them is not safe when it comes to Swerved. And it's really, really good stuff. Where was I going with this? It had to do with NXT, right? I did watch Swerve, though. Oh, Hugo Knox. I saw Hugo Knox. He was in one of the Swerves. It was an NXT thing, and they were serving the NXT guys. And Hugo Knox came out for a match. It was like not a televised match. It was just like a fun, like, hey, we're going to do this now. And Hugo Knox came out. That guy is jacked to the gills. He looks like a young Brian Cage. No offense, Brian Cage. Please, no offense. But we all know how much I enjoy a Brian Cage. Okay? This guy, Hugo Knox. You knock 10 years off Brian Cage and you got Hugo Knox. And I don't know if he can go. Brian Cage can go. I don't know if Hugo Knox can go. So I'm not saying, hey, who needs a Brian Cage? We got a Hugo Knox. But what I am saying is there's huge potential in this kid. He has a really good look. He is jacked to the gills. And if he can get his ring work as good as his look, I feel like he's going to be a huge star for the WWE. You got to drop the name, though, Hugo Knox. That name's a little bit silly. It's a little bit silly, and I don't like it. And he's fresh enough to where he can change his name, and people aren't really going to notice. Like Liv Morgan. I always want to say Liv Tyler. Liv Morgan. Her original name was... I don't remember. But she changed it to Liv Morgan, and guess what? Nobody noticed. I mean, I noticed. But nobody noticed. So, Hugo Knox, if you're listening out there, and if you are, I totally put you over. But if you're listening out there, just get a better name and get some better looking tights. Because you kind of look like an overgrown, bloated candy cane. And that's not cool, bro. It's definitely not cool. So yeah, I'm confident that they can pull these guys up to the main roster, and they're going to have people that are going to be able to pick up where Finn Balor left off, and to pick up where Nakamura left off, to pick up where Samoa Joe left off, and Dash and Dawson and all these guys that are going up. I've also heard speculation about NXT not getting drafted. That's good too. I mean, I don't know what the WWE is deciding to do here with the draft. I really don't know. There's pros and cons either way. If they want to use NXT in the draft or if they don't want to use NXT in the draft. There's pros and cons either way. And I feel like let's do it. Let's raid NXT. Let's take all these talents and let's put them on the main roster. I mean, that's what it's for, right? Let's put them up on the main roster. Let's do it. Let's do it. So, a little bit of a spoiler here. If you don't want to hear a spoiler, go forward a couple minutes. There was a TV taping the next day at Full Sail. And there's a few interesting things that happened. There was a Bayley versus Deonna Purrazzo match. Deonna Purrazzo is a former guest on Pro Wrestling Nation. So congratulations to Deonna Purrazzo for making it back on the NXT show. Also, there was a confrontation between one Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura. Finn Balor came out to the ring, microphone in hand. So I don't know where they're going with this whole NXT business. But they did tease a few things on the TV tapings. I honestly don't remember how far I got into the TV taping, so I'm going to just start from the top. Athena Reese, a.k.a. Ember Moon. It's E, not A. Ember Moon made her in-ring debut against Mandy Rose, and I believe it's going to be on TV. And, I was talking about Finn Balor, because Finn Balor came out, and he said, this is spoilers, so if you guys don't want to hear the spoilers, I'm sorry. Finn Balor came out and he said, hey guys, NXT, what's next for me? What's next for Finn Balor? And now at this point, you think he's getting called up. You think he's going to be drafted, right? This is not really a spoiler because Triple H spoiled it already. But Nakamura came out. After fresh off the victory off Austin Aries, Nakamura comes out and he shakes Finn's hand and they... you know, they do the buddy-buddy thing because they're good friends. And they do the buddy-buddy thing a little bit. And Nakamura decided, what's next for Finn Balor? Shinsuke Nakamura is next for Finn Balor. Because in order for Shinsuke to prove himself, he needs to beat an NXT icon. In order for Shinsuke to prove himself, he needs to defeat the best. In order for Shinsuke to prove himself, he needs to defeat Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn SummerSlam weekend. Boom! Triple H spoiled it. He posted a picture of them face to face and said, no sleep till Brooklyn. No sleep till Brooklyn. So after TakeOver the End, they did a little press conference on Facebook because now they can do it, right? Why did they do a press conference on Facebook? Why did they not do a press conference on the WWE Network? Huh? Facebook? What? Why? Why are you going to tell people, I guess, so people will like the page? I don't know. You're telling people to go to Facebook, to leave the WWE Network, to leave the WWE Network. Did you know that this Facebook Live is not available on the WWE Network? So you're telling your audience to leave the network, to leave it, and go to Facebook and watch this little press conference with Triple H. And what a press conference it was. It was like 13 minutes long. And all Triple H did was say, oh, well, you know, NXT is not developmental anymore. It's its own thing. Well, guess what, Triple H? It's still developmental. I'm sorry. You can sign the Nakamuras of the world. You can sign the Austin Aries of the world. You can sign the Bobby Roode. I don't even know his name anymore. The Bobby Roodes of the world. And you're still going to have a developmental territory. Because where's Hugo Knox going to go? Where's he going to go to test out his new tights? To see if people laugh at him still? Where is Tino Santelli going to go? Where is Nikki Storm going to go? I don't know her new name yet, but she debuted. Where is TM61 going to go? I don't know their new names either. It's like Shane Thorne and Nick Miller. I think that's right, actually. Where are they going to go? If NXT is no longer developmental territory, where are the people that you want to develop going to go? Guess what, Triple H? It's still developmental. Just because you're sprinkling in some veterans. You've had Rhino. You've had James Storm. You've had Brian Kendrick. You know, that doesn't mean it's not developmental. You're still developing these guys that you want to use for the future. The only problem is that Chris Hero doesn't work there anymore. Sign Chris Hero. Make him a trainer. That's my rant. That's my NXT rant, you guys. NXT TakeOver The End. It was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I paid my $9.99 for the network. And I am looking forward to the month of July. I mean, hey, we have June still. We have Money in the Bank. You know, John Cena versus AJ Styles. We have that. But I'm looking forward to July. Because in July, we're going to have a draft. Oh, man, I am so looking forward to this draft, you guys. If you've listened to the podcast the last few weeks, all I could talk about is a draft. Last week, I had a draft spectacular with Don Mega from RedDragonsRadio.com. I'm not going to do that this time. I will talk about the draft more and more as it gets closer and closer. But not just the draft, you guys. The Cruiserweight Classic is supposed to start in July. And boy, am I excited for the Cruiserweight Classic. I hear it's going to be a 32-man tournament spanning over 10 weeks of television. And it's going to be its own show. It's not going to be like, oh, NXT here and there. It's going to be its own thing. So I'm excited about it. Anyways, that was my review of NXT TakeOver The End and kind of the analysis of what NXT is currently doing right now. So I've hoped, I said I, so I had to like follow it up with another word that went with I've. I've hoped that you had enjoyed this, and I've hoped that by now you have hit the subscribe and the download and the good comments and all this wonderful stuff. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I am going to send it back now to our host, Funky Sam Medina. Thank you. Take care. Back to you, Funky Sam. Welcome back to the podcast. I am still your host, and I am still Funky Sam Medina. And I am excited to bring you the wrestling news of the week. I don't have cool sound effects or anything. If you guys want to make me some cool sound effects, I would totally dig that. Hey, but if not, it's all good in the hood. It looks like when Cody Rhodes makes his debut on Evolve on August 19th, he may be having an opponent named Johnny Gargano, which would be amazing for both Cody and for Johnny. It'd be a step up, a really big step up for Johnny, and for Cody, it would be like stepping into the indies and taking on one of the best indie guys. So this is a win-win situation, and I might get that pay-per-view just to see Cody versus Johnny, because I feel like that's going to be really, really good. Jeff Hardy's planning on taking an ultra-sick bump later today. We don't need to talk about that, though. Do we? Rumor on the TNA Hall of Fame. Why does TNA even have a Hall of Fame? Come on. Earl Hebner, the Dudley Boys, Sting. Like, what did these guys ever do in TNA that warrants them a Hall of Fame? I don't think TNA even deserves a Hall of Fame. To tell you the truth, they've been around for 12 years. How much history do they have? WWE's been around since like the 1900s, the 1800s. I don't know. The WWE's been around for a long time. And it took them like 50 years to become worthy to have a Hall of Fame. And TNA's going to come and get one after like 8. Whatever, TNA. For those wondering about the TNA Hall of Fame, although they've announced inductees at previous TNA Slammiversary shows, the plan is to announce the next TNA Hall of Fame member at Tuesday night's Impact on Pop TV. That was mentioned during last Tuesday's broadcast on Pop TV. Previous inductees include Sting 2012, Kurt Angle 2013, Team 3D 2014, Jeff Jarrett 2015, and is that right? I just lost everything, you guys. I lost everything I was reading. It all went to kapooey. So Vince Russo is convinced himself that they're going to induct AJ Styles into the Hall of Fame this year. I really hope they don't. I feel like that's in bad taste. They can induct AJ Styles, but I think they should wait to see when he's going to be done with WWE. I mean, if AJ Styles leaves the WWE in the next 2 or 3 years, then fine, induct him. If AJ Styles doesn't leave the WWE in the next 2 or 3 years, then fine, induct him. But right now is not a good time, especially since in December, TNA's like, oh, wah. They were trying to sign him when we were trying to sign him. Wah. Remember that? That was in January. That was a couple of months ago. So if they're planning on signing AJ Styles, they are complete morons. Because there's no way he's even going to go back there, even if he had the opportunity to. I just don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening, you guys. AJ Styles is phenomenal, and I'm glad that he's in the WWE now. He deserves to be there. He should have been there the whole time, like he said. Let me go back and find some more news. Let me go back and find the Hall of Fame post so I can read what it said about it. It's somewhere. Oops, not this one. That's the other TNA article I want to read. Oh, here we go. Let me see. Where did I leave off? Of course, this takes forever to load. I guess forget it. Here we go. It's anyone's guess as to who will be inducted this year, but many of the top names from their history are signed to other companies. AJ Styles' name was tossed around last month, but likely won't show up due to him working with WWE. And Bobby Roode and Eric Young are believed to be signing NXT deals very soon. Jerry Lynn would make a great choice, but the rumor is Mike Tenay will be inducted in the Hall of Fame. So you get a referee, you get an announcer. This is a wonderful TNA. Thank you for being so awesome and inducting people who don't believe, who don't belong. Whatever, TNA, whatever. Here's another one. Has TNA been sold? PW Torch recently reported that the Aerolux Marketing has taken ownership of the TNA name and have registered the name for 5 years from May 3rd, 2016 to May 3rd, 2021. It's crazy. It's crazy that this thing won't load so they can read the rest of it. And here we go. They stated that Aerolux was assigned TNA's payroll for the production side and is now conducting business under TNA, Aerolux Media, and AMSM Productions. It should be noted that the names Impact Ventures LLC, TNA Entertainment LLC, and TNA Wrestling are still owned by the original company and not by Aerolux. Aerolux taking ownership of the TNA name led to the speculation that the company may have been sold. Mike Johnson noted at PW Insider that as of this morning, Dixie Carter is still the majority owner of Impact Wrestling and is not and will not comment on the story. All right, I'm back. I had some technical difficulties. My wireless headphones just died, so I had to like plug them in for a few minutes, but I'm back. After a brief intermission that you probably didn't even notice, and if I didn't tell you about it, you wouldn't have noticed. I lost my train of thought now. Oh yeah, just when you thought that all I was going to cover is TNA news today, Adam Cole has been hospitalized for pneumonia. Ring of Honor's website is reporting that Adam Cole has been hospitalized in Philadelphia for pneumonia and will be unable to appear at this weekend's Ring of Honor Best to the... he will be unable to appear at this weekend's Ring of Honor Road to Best in the World events in Hopkins, Minnesota, and Milwaukee. Okay, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. I definitely wish Adam Cole the best, baby. He's amazing. I like Adam Cole a lot. I think he's super good. And I wish him the best. So get well, Adam Cole. I'm going to get out of here because I'm starting to sound like an idiot because I am so sleep-depriven. I don't even know if that's a word, you guys. Sleep-depriven? Is that a word? Tony Nese has advanced to the Cruiserweight Classic. Congratulations, Tony Nese. I didn't expect him to be there. And I think that's all the news that I want to cover for today. Lex Luger showed up to a NWA Smoky Mountain show in a wheelchair. Colby Carino, the son of Steve Carino, won the TWE Chattanooga Championship. And that's about it, you guys. Samoa Joe did some interview. Seth Rollins did a vertebraker to AJ Styles. And Matt Hardy made light of a tragedy in Orlando, Florida, with 50 people killed. Matt Hardy made a joke about it. Here, I'll read it to you real quick. I don't want to get into to what happened, the actual event, but I will tell you what Matt Hardy said. He said, "I'm in Orlando, where the horrific shooting took place. My condolences to all. Let me entertain you with my handling of Brother Nero tonight." Way to be a class act, Matt Hardy. I really don't like that. I really don't like that at all. That is going to be it for the news. I don't really have anything else to talk about. I'm excited for Money in the Bank. I'm excited for the draft. I'm excited for NXT Brooklyn. I'm excited for a lot of cool things, you guys. The Cruiserweight Classic is coming up. We have a lot of great things coming up to look forward to. So be excited, just like me. Thank you very much, and I hope to talk to you guys soon. I didn't have a guest for you this week, but that's okay because I felt like I, for the most part, I handled it. We'll see what I do for you next week, you guys. I got stuff lined up. I got stuff booked. Things fall through, but here I am. I never fail you. Well, at least I hope I never fail you. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Happy Sunday. Happy Monday. Happy Tuesday. Whatever day you're listening to this, enjoy it. Peace out. I'll talk to you soon.